Good morning. It's a Thursday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, President Donald Trump kicking off his campaign rally blitz before the midterm elections. He's accusing the media of sowing division, stoking fears about illegal immigration. Rally in Estero, Florida was the first of 11 events he will hold across 8 battlefield states over the next 6 days. Now he's raised the number of troops from 5,000 to 15,000 he wants to send to the border.
And not only that, David, he's got an ad playing of an immigrant who is accused of committing a crime. They're doing the old Willie Horton thing now with a few days left, taking one person out of tens of thousands of people and saying because he's Hispanic and it's a racist ad, there's no two ways about it, you know, and the Democrats did it. It is the most reprehensible kind of politics that can be played in America, and he's doing it once again. This man has no shame about how to win an election. A guy who should be leading the country to some kind of harmony is doing the exact opposite. And we'll have to see whether it works. And he's going all around the country with this garbage and doing it. So we can only say shame on him. And that's all I'm going to say, because it is really disgusting. It is what a president does when he is desperate, and this guy is desperate right now. He sees the blue surge coming, and he'll do anything to stop it.
And that desperation, as you suggest, even includes Paul Ryan after he disagreed with him on the idea of an executive order to change birthright citizenship.
That's right. He's going after Paul Ryan, his own speaker, and Ryan frankly deserves it because he's made this guy what he is today, and there is no loyalty from this president to anybody else. Nobody's allowed to speak their mind. If you do, you get damaged. And that's exactly what's happening to Ryan. It's one of the reasons I suspect Ryan is leaving. But in the end, there is no decency towards the people who have supported you. Not that he deserves it, because he doesn't. And you can only see what the idea of becoming an ally of Donald Trump ends up in.
Beyond the midterms next week, do the Democrats have a candidate that can beat the president in 2020? We see that Hillary Clinton was rather noncommittal on whether she'd run again or not.
I hope that it doesn't happen. I think it's very important to remember that what happened in this last election is there was a sense that the Democrats were the same old, and that the people who had been disenfranchised in this country remained disenfranchised. I suspect the Democrats need a new voice. But it's also important to remember that Hillary Clinton did get the most votes. Remember that. Number one, number two, just a few votes in 3 states would have changed the outcome. So it was a fluke that he won. It was a negative testimonial about how the electoral college in this country works, and it is something that Democrats are going to have to take a good hard look at. They need a candidate who brings fresh hope to the people who felt disenfranchised the last time out. But, of course, if you're Hillary Clinton and you saw what happened and that you were robbed in an election, you did get the most votes. A few votes would have changed it all. Maybe you say, okay, this is my way of getting back in the game and having history judge me differently.
Well, after staying mostly on the sidelines since losing the Democratic primary to Governor Andrew Cuomo in New York last month, Alan, Cynthia Nixon has endorsed the governor for re-election. Facebook video, Cynthia Nixon urges fellow progressives to vote on the Working Families Party line, quote, top to bottom. Cuomo, of course, at the top of the ticket next week.
Yes, I suppose. Look, Cuomo's going to win. He's being endorsed by all the newspapers. Cynthia Nixon had a choice. You know, you support the Democrat or you help the Republican get elected. And that Republican was not going to get elected anyway. So Cynthia Nixon did what she felt she had to do.
Finally, Alan, how about this end to Boston gangster Whitey Bulger? He was unrecognizable, according to authorities, after being beaten, after he was transferred to another prison, Hazleton Prison in Brewston Mills, West Virginia. And federal officials said the attackers even tried to cut out his tongue.
Look, the narrative we're hearing is that it was mafia retribution for his having testified against them. Nobody feels terribly sorry for Whitey Bulger, but it is a black mark on the prison system in the United States that they left him alone. And that has to raise an awful lot of eyebrows, because we do know that Bulger and the FBI were playing games with each other. That we knew. Now, the first thing that's going to occur to an awful lot of people is if he was playing games with the FBI and he was in with them and they were mad at him and they were embarrassed by him, because we now know what was going on. It may well be that his being left alone was, as some people have said, a death penalty within that system. It's a disgrace. He should not have been left alone. And the idea that somehow these types got to him, one of the things I thought was so terrible was that the prison people apparently put out a thing saying that it was being investigated as a murder. Well, big deal. I mean, the fact of the matter is, you get a guy who's had his brains knocked in, apparently with a lock in a sock, which is what was used to do this, and you say it's being investigated as a murder? Well, of course it's a murder. It's ridiculous, and somebody ought to be doing a thorough investigation of what was going on in that prison.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, joining us. Thanks, Alan.
Thank you, David.